Amen, man. I'm so excited to be here in warm Texas. Let's give it up for Texas. Horns all the way, man. I'm always fighting with people about their bird. I'm like, dude, you got a bird in Iowa because they're the Hawkeyes. I'm like, what do? They just honk. But I got a longhorn, man. I'm excited. First off, before we do anything, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Mike and Cheryl for just allowing me to even be here. I did grow up under their ministry, and I do give a lot of credit to my ministry today. The ministry we have is a product of what they instilled in my life when I was a skinny teenager. And I was once filled with the Holy Spirit. I still am, and now I'm filled with food and love from thanks to my baby boo. But I want in Iowa, our youth, see, I call her my hot Latina, but also our youth know her as my baby boo. And so I want my wonderful, beautiful wife to stand up really quickly. She, here we go. We have our baby. Now, if you guys want, we can do the whole Lion King thing and just hold it up and do the, I mean, you're from Africa. We can sing the song and everything. But, I love you, baby. Thank you so much. But again, thank you, guys. And I just want to give you this encouragement really quickly before we move on, is Pastor Mike and Cheryl truly are pioneers for this kingdom. And this church, I know, is a passion for them. They live, they eat, they sleep, Tree of Life. And I know as I have been under the ministry, I've seen them faithful. They've never strayed. They've never said never. They've always gone ahead. And so I want to say to you that you are truly blessed to have Pastor Mike and Cheryl. So let's give them applause as we just, man, we love them. We love them. But yes, we are from Iowa, and as originated from Texas, we moved up to Iowa. There's a position that came up for worship leaders / youth pastor, and we have loved it, but I tell you what, we are not used to the cold. That is ungodly. That really is. I mean, it gets so cold that it, with the wind chills and everything, it was like negative 60, and I'm like, who does that? And they were putting warnings out and stuff where they said, if you were to go outside for more than 5 minutes, you are actually going to get frostbite, and it's crazy. So I remember we moved to Iowa, and the first time we went there, it started snowing. I had never seen snow other than on movies and TV. And so here it's snowing, and snow's going everywhere. And so I call up the pastor, and I say, hey, Pastor, it's Sunday morning. We're not having church, right? He said, what do you think we are? We're in Iowa, buddy. Get over here. And it's crazy. I mean, it could be like 100 feet of snow, and everybody's just moving around, running around their underwear, driving four-wheelers. I mean, it's crazy. I'm like, put some clothes on. But we live in Iowa. We love it, man. It is so much fun. Quickly, we are part of an amazing church called Crossview Fellowship, and Abby and I actually have the privilege of pastoring amazing students, and this year we actually had up to 120 students join our youth group, to where we're just seeing God do amazing things. So give God glory for that. And you know, it really shocked us to see how hungry this community was for God. It's in a very impoverished, low-income community. And so really, the fact of them relying on God is a huge deal. And so in our schools, whenever I went in there and we had thoughts and ideas, I said, we need to get in our schools, is because that is where our next generation is. And so we went into the middle school, and the middle school opened up and said, yes, you can come during school hours and preach the gospel. And so on Thursday morning, we fill up the cafeteria with over 100 students, and on Thursday mornings, they hear the word of God. And then an hour later, we rush right over to the high school, and we pack a small room full of 150 students hearing the word of God. Now, that's amazing. That's amazing. Give God glory for that. And with that, it kind of brings me into this message today, which I want to lay a foundation briefly about what I want to talk to you. We've all heard of Peter as he stepped out of the boat. We've heard that story. And we've all known him as that he did, yes, get his focus off of Jesus. And when he did, he fell into the water. So we can understand that a little bit clearly. I want us to read this. It's in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33, if you have your Bibles, iPads, iPhones, whatever you're going to use your Bible on. And it is Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 33. In 22, it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. And by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. And that's just crazy, mind-boggling. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and he came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray this morning. Father, I just ask that you would just be with my words, God, that it would not be mine but yours, God. Open our hearts and our minds to receive this message, God, as we step out of the boat this morning and step in faith to your glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. Again, thank you guys for having me. And so this morning, I want us to look at this story in a different light. Because for many years, I had looked at the story of Peter stepping out of the boat as, man, Peter was a failure. How could he get his eyes off of Christ? How could he get his eyes off of Jesus? We have all times criticized Peter. "Peter, how hard could have it been? You were actually walking on water. Why did you fall?" And we constantly look at him as a mistake. You failed. You didn't do right. But have any of you ever thought about this message? Well, what about the other disciples? I mean, what were they doing? We find it so easily to criticize the man of God or the worship leader or the youth pastor or the church or the pastor's wife or anybody for stepping out of the boat and failing. But what about the congregational people that just sit back and sit in the boat? What about those people? And it is true. I mean, we do that as people. We often see the faults and mistakes that these people that are stepping out as pioneers, when all along we're in the boat. Have we ever looked at that part of the story where Peter at least had the guts enough to fail? Because I don't know about you, in my walk of faith, I haven't always just stood on the water. I have fallen, I have sunk, but every single time God was faithful and reached down his hand and said, "It's okay, let's keep walking." So what I'm saying today is we need to get out of the boat and we need to stop being like these others that said, "Well, you don't do it, you're going to fail, or it's not good, or you're not good enough, or you're never great, or you're never going to amount to anything." Because if you were to ask me 10, 15 years ago, would I be speaking and being in front of a youth group where over 100 students are on fire for God, I would have laughed at you and said, "I am not called to ministry, I am not called to preach, I don't even know how to speak to people." I was stuck in the boat. And I believe some of us in our lives, we are stuck in the boat. And sometimes it's not the fact of, "Well, I can't do it," or "I can't do this." But we get so distracted. And so in my distractions, I was studying about this epidemic that is really plaguing the earth. It is huge. It has grown rampant amongst the church. It has grown just rampant amongst people in general. And even some of you this morning have this condition. And it's called FWP. I don't know if anybody ever heard of it, but it's called first world problems. You know, maybe you're thinking like this. Well, there is nothing to eat. But I remember Abby and I walked into this Walmart. And in Iowa, you go to Walmart for groceries. You don't go to HEB or any other groceries. It's just Walmart. And so here we are in Walmart, and I'm looking at this plethora of food. And I turn to Abby, and I'm like, "Abby, there is absolutely nothing to eat." Or we go shopping, and then Abby's just like whizzing through clothes, and she's like, "There is nothing to wear." First world problems. Or some of this. Think about this. Some of you complain about waking up too early to go to work. You got a job. Some of you complain, "Well, I have to roll down my window." Well, at least you got an arm to roll it down, and at least you got a car. First world problem. Or some of you say, "Well, my air condition doesn't work in my house." Well, at least you have a house. Or you know what, "I have to park too far." At least you got legs to walk. Come on. first world problems. Or some of you say, my screen on my iPhone is too small. Really? Really? Come on, man. I don't even got that. I got a flip phone, man. Just bam, pop it out. All right. I mean, that's the truth. We are in a first world problem just nation to where we are so captured and consumed by what is not pleasing us is that we stay there. And while others are across the world and even in this community doing the I go and stepping out, we're so, what's going to make me happy? What's going to give me? We're constantly praying, God, give me. My name is Jimmy. But has our prayer changed to this? Instead of saying, give me, maybe our prayer should say, send me. Give me or send me. One of them sounds so beautiful. Give me, God. Give me everything I've ever wanted. But one of them is going to cause you to step out of the boat. To step on the waters that are raging around you when everybody is going this way and that way, when the world around us is telling us what we should believe and how we should believe, and when our government is just crazy and out of whack, God is asking those few to step out of the boat. I remember a lady at church came up to me, and she was just so frustrated. She was angry, and she said, why doesn't the church do fundraisers for missions? And I was like, whoa, all right. I was like, well, what do you mean? She's like, y'all don't do anything. I said, okay, let's do this. How about you put it together? You send out all the letters. You do the mail out. You promote it. And I said, this is what the church will do. We'll provide the church. We'll have volunteers come and set up the tables, make it look real nice. We will even buy the food and have people serve the food. We just need you to do the groundwork. Get it out there. And this lady immediately says, well, I thought you guys were going to do that. I mean, really, like, oh, okay. And then I had another person in youth ministry when we're having these big meetings at the school. This student came up to me and said, well, I think it would be better if you did this. Maybe we should stop doing this so less students could come so we can really disciple the small groups. And I said, well, this is what you need to do. If you're believing a small group, then start one. And he said, well, I thought you guys can do that. And as I was thinking about, we as a congregation, and I've done that even myself, I expect the pastors, the youth pastors and the worship pastors to do everything and to save this community. But then as I was reading it, it says, but we are the church. Well, if it says that, then doesn't that mean us? And so as I thought about it further, well, maybe, just maybe, if God has given you that frustration about what's not happening, maybe you are the one that's supposed to step out of the boat and start that ministry. I mean, that's the truth, because we are so caught up in let them do it. They are or schooled and they are whatever, but we are all called and ordained, and God has all given us the ability, the knowledge, the anointing to go on and start ministries, because it's your ministry and your ministry starts now. So let's get out of the boat. Let's step and let's stand with Pastor Mike and Cheryl, with the other Christian believers and leaders in this community, in this nation, and let's step out in what Christ has called us to do, and that is to preach the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Come on. Let's step out of the boat. Let's say, God, send me. Isaiah 6:8 says it so beautifully. God, who will go for us? Who will go? And Isaiah says, I will go, send me. See, we are in a time where our generation is so hurting and so lost. You know, they've told us, well, when you come into this community, they're not going to be open for the gospel. They're going to be so turned off because of what has happened in their families and just all this gibberish. And immediately when I started hearing that discouragement, I started remembering what God said, in Christ we can do all things. And I started remembering the scripture of Ezekiel when it said the valley of dry bones would rise again. And so I made a declaration as I stepped out of the boat that said, God, once I step foot in that school, it's no longer me, but I will be as Ezekiel, and I will breathe life into this generation, that I will breathe life through you, God, and speak life. God is calling some of you to be Ezekiels in your workplace, in your family, in your schools. You're not too young. You're not too old. You're not talented. If you got a voice, you can do it. We had this one student, and we'll just call him Timmy. Timmy came up to me, and if you don't know Timmy, Timmy is a very introverted, very shy guy, and he walks like this all day. And when he comes to youth group, he don't want to talk to nobody. Don't talk to him because he'll just look at you. He won't even respond to you. Be like, hey, Timmy. And that's it. Like, that's how he talks. And so every day I just see him. I'd be like, what's up, Timmy? And he just stares at me and stuff. And I'm like, all right. So one day he comes up to me. And I didn't know it was him because I was like, I've never heard you talk. And so Timmy's all excited. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, you got to check out this game, Flappy Birds. I was like, dude, I'm going to throw my iPad at your face. You tell me about that again. And so he said, you got to watch this game. And so he got the iPad out, and we started playing it, and my bird started dying, and he was going to like 50, around 50, around 100, whatever. And so he was just so, I have never seen this in Timmy before. A person that's so introverted, so quiet. And I remember he walked away, and so I immediately was so just sold. I had to download Flappy Birds. And I remember as I downloaded Flappy Birds, the Holy Spirit just put something in my spirit. Because I remember just hearing people would say, well, go out and reach. Well, that's not my personality. I'm too introverted. I'm too shy. I don't know how to speak to people. And I said, that's a lie. Because Timmy don't even know how to talk to himself. And Timmy just came up to me and sold me Flappy Birds. If he is sold out to Flappy Birds, he has taken ownership in Flappy Birds that he was going around telling everybody left to right, you've got to play Flappy Birds. So what about us? What if we were like Timmy, sold out and had an ownership in Christ that anybody that was around us, we say, look at my Jesus. Download him now. What if we were like Timmy? What if we were to step out of the boat? What if we understood the scripture, Mark 16:15, that declared, go out into all the world and preach the gospel, preach the good news to all creation. It didn't just say, well, preach it to whoever you want, but it said everybody. I remember this buddy I had in Bible college, and he said, you know, my ministry will not start until I get to Africa. I said, that's great, man. I said, that is awesome. I said, but what are you doing now? What about all the hurting and dying people that are right here? Why do you have to wait? And I remember just looking at this story of Peter as I was dissecting it. A lot of us are like that boat. We want to ride out the waves and get to the shore to where it's comfy and it's safe. To where we think, well, maybe later than once I get on the shores of Africa or India or China, then my ministry will then start. And don't get me wrong, I love missions and I will go on every chance I get. Trust me. But what about the missions field here? What about the people and the students and the old to young that are struggling and hurting with the same issues that are happening in a third world country? What about those people? What if we stepped out of the boat this morning and all just made a decision to say, God, I'm going to reach this city? What would happen to these empty seats? We would start seeing people, one service, two service, three service. We would see people flood. Doesn't even have to be this church, but it could be the whole community of churches linking together to creating and crossing over denominational lines and preaching the message that is all over the world, the message of Jesus Christ. And so with that, when we were in Iowa, I had the idea and the heart that was birthed here a long time ago. We did a little youth event called the Knock the Fire. And I remember that. And so through time and season of getting better and more mature and things, we started an event called the Crave. And my heart was to get these other youth pastors and youth workers from all denominations, from First Christian to New Testament to Baptist churches to Church of Christ. And we got all these denominations together. And I sat these guys down. I said, you know what? We so much are just fighting like we're like high school kids and come join my school, wear my Letterman jacket. And I said, we need to be fighting for the same cause. And so we created this event called The Crave. And we stepped out of the boat because nothing had ever been done before in this community like that. Because it's so poor, they don't know what it's like to go to a really nice concert. They don't know what it's like to go to a really nice camp where there's the lights and the smoke and a great speaker and great music. They don't know that. And so I said, let's bring that to them for free. Don't charge nothing. And so what we did, we worked all year. We worked really hard. We brought this event, and we packed that place out with hundreds of students. And I remember just watching it and looking backstage and just seeing the hands raised up. Kids that some of us said would never be reached and never be touched. It came time to the actual altar call. And once they did, almost every seat was empty for the call of Christ. Now imagine if I would have just stayed in the boat. Imagine if I would just have said, go ahead, you are more qualified, you do it. We do that sometimes. We don't believe in ourselves and what God has called us to do. Some of us have been just so caught up in I can't do it, that God is saying, if you would just listen to me, you can. Because let me encourage you this morning, it's time to get off the sidelines. It's time to just stop wearing the Texas Longhorn jersey and get on the practice field, hit somebody, get hurt. It's time to dream again. It's time to get out of the boat. It's time to stop running from God and the call that He has placed in your life. It's time to say yes. Some of you, God has called you to do great things, and for years you've been running from God. And you have been staying in the boat, and He is going to give you the ability to dream again. Because why? He has given you a purpose. He has given you a dream. He has given you the ability to step out of the boat and to walk on the water. So who's going to walk on the water with me this morning? Who's going to say, enough is enough. I will no longer look at myself as a mistake. Yes, I've sinned. Yes, I've fallen off of the church path or whatever we want to call it. But now I am going hard after God because there is hurting people that need you and you and you and you and you and you. Let's step out of our boat this morning and let's understand the call on our life. I want to leave you with 3 points before we're going to minister a song to you. But the first thing we must do in order to be like Peter is we first have to just step out. That's sometimes the hardest. I once heard it that if Jesus was 1,000 steps away, all He's requiring is just one, and He'll take the 999 steps to you. But what does that one step look like? That one step looks like giving up the life of sin, giving up the life of pleasures, giving up the things that are blocking you from a godly life, and surrendering totally to the one and true Savior. Next, once we step out on the boat, we are now walking on water with Jesus. We must keep our focus. We must make time every single day to follow and just to get on our face or to get on our knees and to just cry out to God and say, God, I need you. God, I pray for this city. God, I pray for this church. Because God does want to give you things. God is a giving God, but we need to pray outside of our box, outside of our comfort zone, and pray for our enemies. Pray for the ones at work. Pray for that God would radically shift and bring a revival to the city of Austin, Round Rock, Georgetown, all the surrounding cities. Why? Because God can and He will. But we got to step out of the boat. We got to be focused. And finally, we just got to go. We just got to go. We got to start walking it out. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, the Christian faith and walking it out at times will be hard, will be scary, will be discouraging. But I tell you what, the reward is great. The reward is great, and the harvest is greater. So can I get the worship team up here with my wife? And I believe this morning that some of you have had dreams to change this world. Some of you have been called to ministry. Some of you have actually seen God do amazing things. And because of self and life, we've allowed our calling to slip away. But it's time for us this morning to get out of the boat, to follow Christ, and to reach this hurting world. This song we're going to sing is so beautiful. It's called Oceans. If any of you have ever heard of it, it's an amazing song. And I'm just going to read the words to you. And if we could just close our eyes, I just want us to soak in the words to this song. And in verse 1, it says, "You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where my feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand." The chorus is, "And I will call upon your name. I will keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you are mine." It says, "Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surround me, you never failed and you won't start now. So Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger." With our eyes closed, and they're going to start to sing this song. Simply, if you want to take that step of faith, and say, "God, I want to step out of the boat. I want to walk upon the water." At any moment during this song, I just encourage you just to stand upon your feet and surrender to Christ with your hands lifted and sing the song, not as a song, but as a declaration unto your spirit, saying, "God, I'm going to walk. I'm going to try my hardest. I'm going to reach out to my schools. I'm going to reach out to my friends, to my workplace. Why? God, you've called me to do it." So let's worship to this song. We're going to step out of the boat.